Hey folks, welcome to Heartline. I'm Rita Schulte. I'm a licensed therapist in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area, and I'm passionate about matters of the heart. So the idea behind the podcast is simple. I want to check the pulse on your heart by taking a look at some of the cutting-edge issues that are affecting you and the people around you, and have you consider, how in the world is all this mess called life affecting your heart? To help stir things up, we're going to be talking to some of the leading professionals in the Christian counseling and literary industry, as well as hosting discussions with real people who are struggling with real life issues. If you want to know a little bit about me, you can check out my website at siftedasweak.com, where you can ask questions, find out about my book, listen to other podcasts, or request to be a guest on the show. So let's get going on this journey of the heart.
How could anyone as dumb and ugly as you have such a good-looking child? Mark's mother was grinning as she cuddled her grandson in her arms. To most observers, her words might have been brushed aside as a bad joke, but almost instantly they brought tears to Mark's eyes. "Stop it," Mark said emphatically. "That's all I've ever heard from you. It's taken me years to believe I'm not ugly and dumb. Why do you think I haven't been home in so long? I don't ever want you to call me dumb again." That's an excerpt from the best-selling book, The Blessing, by Dr. John Trent and Dr. Gary Smalley, that illustrates how powerful an effect a parent's words can have on a child's life trajectory. Maybe you were fortunate enough to have been affirmed and blessed by your parents, but for those who weren't, it can leave lasting scars. Dr. Trent is here today to talk about the book and teach us how we can learn to take the blessing challenge. Dr. Trent is founding president of StrongFamilies.com, a ministry committed to strengthening marriage and family relationships worldwide. He's authored or co-authored over 20 books, 17 of which have won writing awards. In addition to being a best-selling author, he's a popular conference speaker with over 25 years' experience serving and strengthening families. He's appeared on The Oprah Winfrey Show, Focus on the Family, Family Life Today, and many others. His best-selling books include The Blessing, The Language of Love, Heart Shift, and Breaking the Cycle of Divorce. His most recent books include The 2-Degree Difference, Superhero Swamp, and Skinny Rabbit. Any of them can be purchased on my website at siftedaswheat.com by going to the Heartline podcast link. An Amazon widget will be on the right, and this helps us with the show. Today I'm going to give away a couple copies of the book to anyone who goes to the website and tweets or Facebooks something interesting about this episode. So let's get rolling. Dr. Trent, welcome to Heartline.
Well, thanks. It's great to be with you. You know, I know it's taken us a little while, so thanks for your patience and persistence.
You referred to as one of two life-changing events. It was about the young man you were doing a suicide watch over on your first day as an intern at the psychiatric hospital, and the kid was suicidal over not getting an A in a tennis class. Can you talk about that? Because I think that really drives home the entire premise of the book.
Well, the book you're referring to is called The Blessing, and years ago, I was working at a psychiatric hospital. I know there's been some question. I was working there, and it was my first day on the job, and long story short, ended up sitting down for about 4 hours and talking with this young man who actually, he was a biochemistry major, but he received his first B as in boy, not D as in dog, in a non-major, you know, he had to have one PE course. This is a long time ago. They don't do that. Well, they have electives now, but anyway, he had to take one PE course, and he had gotten sick during the course and missed a bunch of classes where he couldn't play tennis, and there was no way to, you know, the teacher would let him make it up, and so it was going to go down on his, and he couldn't drop it, and so it ended up where he was going to get a B on his transcript and literally tried to take his life, because he felt like if he went home with a B, he would never he could not face his dad with a B. He needed to have straight A's. Well, that night, I read Genesis chapter 20 from the psychiatric hospital, and after sitting with this young man, I open up to this twin named Esau, and Esau cries out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and says, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." When Esau found out he would never get his dad's blessing, and it was like the scales dropped off, and all of a sudden I had a name for what it was that I was seeing every day in that psychiatric hospital. And now that's of course extreme, but I'm telling you, over the years I've met literally thousands of people who have in their own heart and mind have cried out, "Bless me, Mom, bless me, Dad," and now they didn't have maybe those words, but that's really what that story is about, what the book's about. And what the blessing challenge is about is really making sure that your kid, and then maybe a kid in your life that the blessing really gets it, so they're not left feeling like Esau or like that kid was years ago in Dallas.
Oh, wow, that's powerful. You know, because what you're saying in the blessing is what I'm trying to teach people about, and that's this idea of needs. You know, we have these solical needs for love and acceptance and value and worth and security. And they're essential for life, and without them, we sort of fail to thrive, don't we?
Well, you know, absolutely. You know, there's a sense in which, you know, people think, the past, that doesn't affect me. And yet everybody around them and in relationship to them sees how much it affects them. And I think it's because it ties in with an incredible choice. Can I illustrate that for you?
Absolutely.
Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, Almighty God is talking to the nation of Israel just before they go into the promised land. And listen to this choice he sets before them. I think it's pretty amazing and also pretty illustrative of what it is that so many of us struggle with today. But the Lord says to his people, "I call heaven and earth the witness that I have set before you," and here's the choice, "life or death, the blessing or the curse." Now, I was a Greek major at Dallas Theological Seminary because I got some bad advice, frankly. I was a new Christian when I went to seminary, and I didn't know back then at Dallas Seminary, if you majored in New Testament, that meant Greek. Okay, and I also didn't know at Dallas, if you major in Greek, that means you automatically minored in Hebrew. So, and I'd never even had Spanish, so that was a great 4 years of my life. But one of the things that you learn, you know, when you're a Greek major or a Hebrew major, you do tons of words. And so let me define those words for you, because it really helps, I think, understand that choice God set before his people, and I think before us as well. He says, here's the first thing. You're getting ready to go into this land that I promised you. Here's the choice. Number one is life or death. And the word life in Hebrew, which is the language of the Old Testament, literally means to move toward someone. So things that are alive are moving toward something, okay? But the word death is the word to step away. It literally means to step away into isolation, separation. So think about that. I mean, you work with, you know, families and couples and individuals all the time, as I do as a counselor, and all the time I see people who chose early in their relationship to step towards others. And it gives them a life. I mean, they're going to step towards knowing them and engaging them and with touch and, you know, with valuing them. But then something happens in the relationship and they begin to step away. And when you step away from somebody, when you begin to withdraw, all of a sudden that relationship will start dying inside. And, of course, that's not true in our relationship with Christ. If we become faithless, it says in Scripture, he remains faithful because he doesn't deny himself. So God's not saying, okay, you bail out, I'm bailing out on you. Whenever we finally turn around, if we start walking away from him, he never moves. And so as soon as we turn around, he's right there. But that's the first choice. Are we going to move towards God and towards others or step away? And suffer the consequences emotionally if we do. And then the second thing is blessing or curse. And the word blessing literally means, there's two pictures in Hebrew. One is to bow the knee. It's literally used of a camel they used to force camels down on their knees so that they get up on, so they could get up on their back, right? Well, that's the picture, is to bow the knee. Now, we don't bow in our culture, you know. But what it all across the world, people curtsy, they bow. When the Olympics this summer is in, is in England, royalty, whenever the Olympics are at a place where there's royalty, in the Parade of Nations, have you ever seen that, when all the different countries go into the Olympic Stadium, wherever it's going to be, when they go in, the Parade of Nations, every nation on earth bows their flag, they tip their flag when they go by. If the country that's hosting it has royalty, some kind of nobility, in this case it would be the Queen of England, assuming she's still with us then, if not it would be, you know, King Charles. But as soon as it goes by the booth with royalty, they dip their flag, except for who? The United States.
Yeah.
We're the only country on earth who has never, we have never dipped our flag. So we don't bow to people. But what it says is, you are so incredibly valuable as a person, I bow before you. And then the second thing it says is to add a coin to a scale. And so picture that. Now, we hand people quarters, and it's a quarter because it says it's a quarter. But back in biblical times, you handed somebody a coin. It might have somebody's inscription on it, but that's not how you could tell how valuable it was. The way you would tell how valuable it was, you would put it in a scale, because the greater the weight, the more the value.
Mm.
You know, when we say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, we're saying, Lord, you are so valuable, I add my little bit of praise to you, like adding a coin to a scale. Well, that's exactly what we do with those in our loved ones, our family. We can choose to treat them as extremely valuable by adding to their life. And that's what the blessing does. It adds five specific things to somebody's life. Every time a blessing is given, there are five things. But last thing, I'm almost done. Thanks for your patience. Here's the second one is, remember, life or death, step forward, step away. You can add to their life, which is the blessing, because they're so valuable, or you can curse them. And the word curse doesn't mean bloody chicken leg, you know, in a graveyard at midnight like Stephen King, okay? It literally means curse you, means to, the word curse literally means to up the stream, to withdraw water. So, for example, when the ark comes to rest on the mountain after the flood and the waters pull back, the literal word is, and the waters were cursed. Well, what it means is to pull away water, to dam up the stream. That's what it means to curse someone. And can I give you one last real quick example?
Oh, please.
Remember the woman at the well?
Yes.
Jesus shows up. It's the heat of the day. She's been married five times. She's now living with the sixth guy. And think about all the subtraction. She's had five guys walk away from her, choose to step away, and seeing the death of five relationships. Now she's living with the sixth guy, because why bother getting married to him? Because all the women went out early in the morning. So she's not in a relationship with any of those women, so she's broken, she's disconnected, she doesn't really have relationships because nobody wants to hang with her. So she's out by herself in the middle of the day at this well in the heat of the day. And I'm from Arizona, so we get this, you know, heat of the day deal that, you know, the desert right there is very similar in the Middle East as it is here in Arizona. And do you remember what Jesus offered the woman at the well? He offered her living
water. Yeah.
And that's because a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, no matter how much subtraction, no matter how much brokenness, how many people may have hurt us or walked out on us, the bottom line is that in a personal relationship with Christ, he breaks down the dam. He's the great healer, the great dam breaker that brings us that life-giving water so that we're really free to bless. So that's kind of a long answer to your question, but the bottom line is the blessing is all about a choice, and it's a choice we hope people will start making like crazy today.
Yeah, I think you're just so right on, because many of the people that I'm counseling, you know, the kids, they know their parents love them. But if I ask them, you know, do your parents accept you? Many of them will tell me, well, you know, not apart from my performance. And so,
right. You
know, we need to really be focusing on the identity piece with our kids and loving them, letting them know we love them apart from their performance.
Well, that's true. But, you know, there's so many parents that just don't get that.
Yeah.
Because it's like I'm a slow distance jogger, and you know, I run half marathons and marathons. You know, I'm looking at some of the medals that you finish 13.1 or you know, 26.2 miles, and they hang this medal around your neck, you know. And there's so many people, kind of like the guy we started talking about at the very beginning, where mom or dad says, well, you know what, I ain't giving you that, you know, well, maybe, you know, B's are okay, but where do you get, you know, an A? Well, where do you get all A's? Well, where do you get, you know, and they tend to just push away. And I can't, you know, I think you're right. There's so many people that confuse the blessing with performance, and it doesn't mean you don't want your kid to do well, and it doesn't mean you praise things in their life that are inauthentic, because kids know that as well. But boy, just the fact that God has given them to you, it is tremendously beneficial to bless others.
The loss of the blessing can leave people damaged or searching for life, and you relate so many stories of people who struggle for years looking, you know, even for crumbs from their parents. And these people have established core beliefs about who they are, how they do relationships, based on the beliefs that their parents helped to establish. How does the book help people come out of that and realize, hey, I may be not the stupid, ugly kid that you talk about in one of the stories in the book, where mom's holding the baby and saying to her son, hey, how could somebody as dumb and ugly as you have such a good-looking child?
Right. Well, and you hear that kind of thing all the time. Don't take algebra. That's for the smart kids.
Mm-hmm.
Or don't bother to try out for cheer. Are you kidding? That's for the popular kids. And we don't realize that our kids will remember what we say to them and what we were wearing when we said it years from now.
Absolutely.
When we give them those kinds of negatives. But I think part of why people, one reason for hope is all of us, to some degree as kids, I think, come away from a life with some degree of hurt, okay? So picture kind of a stick figure of this, you know, because that's all I can draw. I can't draw real people, but, you know, just draw a circle for a head and a little, you know, legs and body, and you can put a skirt on it if you want to, if it's a girl, or just not with if it's a guy. But bottom line is all of us at some level have hurt. Well, we can't what? We can't go get new parents, new siblings. Usually we can't go to a different school. I mean, and so what we begin to do is we begin to dissociate ourselves from our feelings. So we kind of cut off what we're feeling, cut our heart off, you know, and we start thinking, man, I have got to find some way for self-protection and to make it through. And so, for example, well, my older brother Joe is a great big guy, but he was really fat as a kid, okay? Well, seventh grade, all of a sudden, that fat, he starts shooting up. Now he's not fat, he's big, and then he starts lifting weights in seventh grade and eighth grade, and all of a sudden he goes from being picked on to now he's the biggest kid. Now he's getting bigger than most kids. He ends up as an all-state offensive tackle.
Wow.
At 17 years old, my older brother was bench pressing 320, three weights, which is, if you know anything about lifting, that's just unbelievable. And so he was a behemoth. But the reason why was, guess what? Life for him became, if I can lift enough weights, if I can get fearsome, it knocks you in this circle of self-protection. My twin brother, Jeff, because, you know, we're growing up in a single-parent home, and my mom's gone and sick, and my dad, we haven't even met him at that point. And my twin brother, Jeff, do you have a brother or sister?
No, I was an only child.
Oh, you were. Okay. Well, then you're the smart one. Okay. Well, in our home, Jeff was the smart one. You know, he's an MD, PhD, he's brilliant. He did summa cum laude from Indiana University. I graduated, Lordy, how come, from TCU, frankly. But the bottom line is Jeff's brilliant. He was the scientific director for the National Human Genome Project. So usually they're the ones that crack the genetic code several years ago. So the bottom line is that Jeff usually is the smartest guy in the room, okay? But that became his self-protection. Do you see what I'm getting at?
Sure.
And I was the party waiting to happen person, you know. So if I could be I was just a hellion and kicked out of grade school, and if I could party enough, you know, be the life of the party. So I, you know, but what we were all doing was taking that hurt and just using self-protection. Well, then what happens is sometimes we come to know Christ and we don't ask him to free us from that. What we do is we go, well, you know what, God, help me be better at you know, the academic thing, or help me be better at the party thing, or better at something. And God, and you know, Christ says, well, forget that. I love you and died for you and cared for you, and just get rid of all that self-protection thing. And it's the freedom that we can find in Christ that we really are free to bless that's just unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. So we try to get our needs met by strengthening our flesh, and God wants to do away with that and have us walk in dependency on him.
Absolutely, because to the degree that we are, you know, propping up that, you know, that self-defense thing, that self-protection, I mean, I've do a lot of work with the military. I do a lot of work over the years with, let's just call it, you know, high profile, you know, people in quote unquote Hollywood kinds of things, where, you know, these people, so much of their image in life is all based around what they look like. So it's what we do, it's how we look, it's who we're related to. And when that becomes our life, it really blocks us. It's really a barrier to blessing others, because we spend all of our energy trying to keep that bubble of self-protection going. But eventually, it's like my older brother, eventually you get your knee blown out in college and you don't get to go to the pros. Or you know, with me, the partying thing, you know, blew up, and your life is a ruin, and on and on and on. So you're exactly right. I mean, we need to say, hey, this isn't about what we can do in the flesh or self-protection. I think we really need to say, Lord, free me from that. And like that woman at the well, even if we've been broken 5 times in a row, you know,
yeah,
that he can sit down and say, I have everything you need.
For life.
Begin, yeah, for life. For, you know, but you just got to move towards me, and that's that mm-hmm. choice we need to make.
Another thing I really like that you talk about is the word picture piece and speaking blessing into the life of your children or your spouse or whoever we're talking about here. But I think a lot of times parents feel like, oh, well, they know I love them or whatever. And I think we really need to hear that. And I like what you talk about with this word picture thing. And you use the story of Nancy. Can you talk a little bit about that? That was an awesome story where she was like the special Christmas gift.
Yeah, I think, you know, the whole idea, like in Genesis chapter 27, Jacob blesses Esau. You know, he says, see, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. Now, we read that and we think, well, gosh, he's criticizing him or something, you know. But actually, you know, in an agrarian, you know, culture, the smell of harvest, where did you grow up as a kid?
Northern Virginia, D.C. area.
So, well, so you were in the Beltway, but if you ever got out and there's those farms and there's that smell of the harvest, you know, unless you're in Gilroy, California. I don't know if you have, but that's where they harvest garlic, which is one of the worst smells you've ever smelled. But great city, crummy smell, you know, kind of a deal.
Yeah.
But so here's a dad, and here's what I'm trying to get at. Guess what? Every harvest season, like I'm an old, you know, football player, and every September when there's this smell of when you're walking by the grass out here in Arizona, and they cut the grass, and there's that smell, and it's like football season, you know. Well, that's what that dad was doing. He was helping his son get a picture of the fact that, you know what, every time you smell that harvest, you know what a great, you know, to a farmer, man, that's the smell of money and labor rewarded and everything else. And so he's saying to his son, you know what, every time you smell that smell, I want you to know how valuable you are to me. Or like Nancy and, you know, a gift that they wrap up and say, you know, you're such an incredible gift to us. And so there's lots of ways, you're right, called word pictures to help a kid get the picture that they really are incredibly valuable. And word pictures or linking your praise with a picture is a great way to do that.
We're running out of time. John, how can folks contact you or learn more about the Blessing Challenge?
Well, it's real simple. The Blessing Challenge is a 7-year initiative that launches August 25th. Now, they can pre-register right now by going to theblessing.com, and in a couple of weeks, the new website will be up. But it's 1 million people choosing to bless their family, to take the 5 elements of the blessing, which is, you know, their touch and their words that attach high value and help a kid understand that they have a special future and that we're committed to them. You take those 5 elements of the blessing, put it into this blessing experience that we coach people how to do, and we're asking 1 million people to focus on the family and our ministry and Thomas Nelson and a whole bunch of ministries are saying, take a first step. Just start. And once you do it, you'll realize how easy it is to bless people. And then once you bless your family, so you want to start with your family, right? Once you bless your family, then what we're asking people to do is pick one kid that if you don't give the blessing to that kid, or their, maybe it's a grandkid and the parents just don't get it and they're not blessing that kid, so you're the grandparent that needs to bless that grandchild, or you're an uncle or an aunt, or it's that kid down the street, but man, she is not getting the blessing. And so you want to, you know, so that's what we're saying is bless your family, but then pick one kid. You know, if you don't give it to them, they're not going to get it, and give them the blessing. And it's called the Blessing Challenge at theblessing.com, and we're just excited to get people to sign up and get started here in a few weeks.
Oh, that sounds awesome. And people can get the book or any of your books, again, on my website at siftedaswheat.com. John, thank you so much for being here today. It was just a blessing having you and being able to talk to you. And I know how busy you are, and I just so appreciate you taking the time.
Hey, I'm so honored.
That's a wrap for our show today. Thanks so much for joining us. And remember, it's your heart. Keep it alive. Check the pulse.